My sisters and brothers, most of us recognize Abraham Lincoln as one of the greats of American history. I trust that Edward won't mind my referring to Lincoln, who was a Republican, as an example today. But most do not realize that Lincoln never formally joined a church, or so I've read. He was a student of the Bible, but never embraced the truth that we have a Savior in Jesus Christ until he visited the Gettysburg battlefield. After the bloodiest battle of the Civil War in 1863, Lincoln was prepared to give his Gettysburg address. As he looked over the thousands of white markers, which were the graves of the fallen in battle, he had a spiritual awakening. Lincoln later remarked in a letter to a friend from Springfield in the following words. He said, "When I left Springfield, I asked people to pray for me. I was not a Christian. When I buried my son, the severest trial of my life, I was not a Christian. But when I went to Gettysburg and saw the graves of thousands of soldiers, I there and then consecrated my life to Christ." Now, no one knows exactly why Gettysburg Cemetery moved Lincoln to embrace Christ as Savior, but perhaps it was because he realized that in the midst of so much pain and suffering, so many young men fallen in battle, there has to be a God, a Savior, who can bring good out of the evils of this world. There has to be a Savior who gives eternal life to those who die so pitifully, but bravely. And Lincoln, of course, was right. There is a Savior who brings life to those who have died in him. There is a Savior who brings good out of the evils of this world. His name is Jesus. And it is Jesus into whose presence we come this morning, this afternoon, remembering Edward Campbell, who, like Lincoln, knew he needed a Savior. It is Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, who draws us to his loving heart, so that looking at the coffin of Edward, we may remember the promise made to us in the scripture. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it even dawned on the mind of man what God has in store for those who love him. And so in the presence of the risen Savior, we pray for Edward. We embrace the promises made to those who love God, and we give thanks for the memories. We heard read in Ecclesiastes 3, there's an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And I might add, a time to remember and a time to be remembered. Memories. No other creature has the faculty to remember. Only humans created in the image and likeness of God can remember. And as we remember Edward, we give thanks. Edward was so many things to so many people. Relative, brother, uncle, husband, friend, citizen, politician, confidant, Christian. And in all these relationships, Edward brought with him a gift he cultivated as a child in Sacred Heart School in Fort Dodge, Iowa, learning of it first at the knees of his mother. What was it? The gift of having a caring heart. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is kindness. And that gift of the Holy Spirit was made visible in so many ways, in so many relationships, in all kinds of ways by Edward. I must mention the love I saw between Bonnie and Edward. The tenderness and the care they shared was a blessing to witness. And I always remarked that they were not just spouses, they were best friends. That's a beautiful thing. I went to Italy a number of years ago with Edward and Bonnie, some of my own family. And I saw him up close, listened to him. And one of the things I witnessed was that tenderness, that care. He appeared gruff on the outside, but he was a marshmallow on the inside. At that time, when we were traveling through Italy, Edward visited with me. And at that time, I was stationed in Omaha. And Edward was telling me how he wanted to engineer it so I could get back home to Iowa. I don't think Edward was experienced in church politics, but his willingness to help touched me nonetheless. Edward would come to Saturday evening Mass when I was at Holy Trinity here in Des Moines. Every week, faithfully, he'd be there. But when his health no longer permitted it, Edward couldn't go to Mass. But I sensed in him, deep within his soul, a profound recognition of his need for a power greater than himself, a Savior with whom he wanted to commune and did at every Mass. He realized what we must all realize. Time here is fleeting, and for all of us, time runs out. When we meet the God who created us, we must render an account of our stewardship. I was taken by one of Edward's favorite toasts I read in the obituary. I didn't know that he used to say that. He didn't say it to me anyway. He said, "May you live forever and I never, ever die." And there's much truth in that. Because we will live forever. For those who recognize their need for God, there is no ultimate death, only a passing through the portal of death to a better place. Edward had his share of sufferings, his battle with alcoholism and with cancer, overcoming power of the grip that those things had on his life. The Serenity Prayer perhaps expresses best the power that can be found in a Savior who transforms stumbling blocks into stepping stones of peace. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. We pray for Edward today. He would be the first to tell us, "Don't canonize me. I'm not a saint." We pray that all his sins being forgiven, he may enter into that place where there's no pain, no more suffering, no more tears, no more sadness, but only joy beyond all imagining. In all things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Christ who loves us, Romans tells us, Romans chapter 8. We pray that Edward has conquered his last foe, death, and now has seen his Savior face to face. That Savior who is with us here to awaken within us the faith to turn to him and to call upon him to conquer darkness of this world in order for us to enter into eternal light. A beautiful meditation speaks of the grief we experience at the loss of a loved one as memories flood our hearts and minds. It's called "Tears Are the Proof of Love." It goes like this: "How long will the pain last? a broken-hearted mourner asked me. All the rest of your life, I had to answer truthfully. We never quite forget. No matter how many years pass, we remember. The loss of a loved one is like a major operation. Part of us is removed, and we have a scar for the rest of our lives. This does not mean that the pain continues at the same intensity. There is a short while at first when we hardly believe it. It is rather like when we have cut our hand. We see the blood flowing, but the pain has not set in yet. So when we are bereaved, there is a short while before the pain hits. But when it does, it is massive in its effect. Grief is shattering. But then the wound begins to heal. It is like going through a dark tunnel. Occasionally, we glimpse a bit of light up ahead, then lose sight of it a while, then see it again. And one day, we merge into the light. We're able to laugh, to care, to live. The wound is healed, so to speak. The stitches are taken out, and we are whole again, but not quite. The scar is still there. The scar tissue, too, as the years go by, we manage. There are things to do, people to care for, tasks that call for attention, but the pain is still there, not far below the surface. We see a face that looks familiar, hear a voice that has echoes, see a photograph in an album, see a landscape that once we saw together, and it is as though the knife were in the wound again, but not so painfully. And mixed with joy, too, because remembering a happy time is not all sorrow. It brings back happiness with it. How long will the pain last? All the rest of your life? But the thing to remember is that not only the pain will last, but the blessed memories as well. Tears are the proof of love, the proof of life. The more love, the more tears. If this were true, then how could we ever ask that the pain cease altogether? For then the memory of love would go with it. The pain of grief is the price we pay for love. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference.